Greetings, film freaks. We are the Podcorn Kernels. Join us as we discuss the hard and often indigestible truths that are at the center of the fluffy and delicious world of cinema.
What's popping, people? Welcome to the Podcorn Kernels podcast. My name is Adam, and joining me in your ear holes is Harry. Say hello, Harry.
Episode 39 of 40 just departed for season 1 of the Podcorn Kernels podcast. That's right. One more episode to go, and then it's winter quarters to regroup before the next push. Fight the good fight, and prepare to press play another day.
On today's episode, we will be talking about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. This is a 2021 film directed by Dean Fleischer-Camp and stars Jenny Slate, Isabella Rossellini and Rosa Salazar. IMDb describes the synopsis as follows. A cash-strapped documentary maker decides to make his newest documentary about a mollusk shell he finds living in his Airbnb. Here is an original song to support the synopsis.
Well, sometimes I find my mind wandering, thinking, what would my family think? Do you think they could be out there?
Marcel the Shell with shoes on. He loves his family, but they're all gone. A little dude with a big heart wants to find them all. But where to start? Tiny little guy with an old soul, small in stature, but a heart of gold. Marcel the Shell with shoes on. He loves his family, but they're all gone.
Guess why I smile a lot?
Why?
'Cause it's worth it.
Let's start with some facts about the film. On average, one full day of filming resulted in 5 to 10 seconds of actual runtime.
Oh!
It's the nature of stop motion, right?
What a struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a tough pill to swallow, because it's not like at the end of the day you could go and watch hours worth of takes and be like, I like that take, I like that. You're literally like, this is like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You have to have the patience of a saint. If you're the animator, if you're the one or the team responsible for moving that little shell just an inch to continue the shot.
Yeah.
Changing his little expression on his face, moving him that just like a couple of centimetres to make the motion of him moving. I couldn't do it.
I'd love to know how they do stop motion with film, because I've always understood, obviously, the concept with photos. It makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Keep the frame the same and you move something gradually over 1,000 photos and you'll get movement. But obviously, it will always have that rigid look. I'd love to know how they've done that in film. Like, so in this, Marcel will be in motion, but also there's a natural footage of a room with a guy's hand like moving around, and it's very normal. It's like, how do you do that in video?
It takes some real patience, profound levels of patience. I saw a clip of the new Pinocchio film, the stop motion
Guillermo one.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Guillermo del Toro. And I saw the footage of within that film, they've got like a monkey swinging down like a staircase.
Mm.
And I saw the animator moving it and moving every little beat of this monkey moving.
Cool.
And like, even the footage of that is sped up, because otherwise it would be so slow to watch, to consume. So any facet of stop motion is fascinating to me. I just know I don't have the head for it. I don't have the fortitude and the patience to be able to see something like that through.
That sounds easier using, say, a monkey with, and he's got pulleys and stuff. But you think of Marcel,
yeah,
an eyelid.
Yeah.
And having a mouth sort of drawn onto it, and it, you have to just move it ever so slightly every time. But with monkey, you could animate. You're animating it anyway.
Exactly.
Like a puppet. Puppeteering is different.
Yeah, I'd say so. And the movement for us, like a monkey, you say, isn't a sentient shell that's got no arms and stuff to be moving. It's only minimal movements you can do with Marcel, because he's a bloody shell, for fuck's sake.
It's an anthropomorphic mollusk.
Yeah, he is.
And I wonder if he's got any of that tasty goodness inside that escargot, a bit of garlic, a bit of butter, a bit, bit of parsley.
Are you saying within the first 3 minutes you'd want to munch on Marcel?
I'm not appetised by Marcel because of the footwear. It looks like it's been worn too much.
Cheesy foot.
Potentially, yes. I don't know if the hygiene's any good there, because even Marcel admits that there's something that where he has to really focus his cleaning habits is around the bit between the shoe and the bottom of his shell.
Mm.
The shit area.
Hard to reach place for a shell, right?
Hard to reach place, but produces brilliant cooking oil.
According to various interviews from Jenny Slate and Dean Fleischer Camp, the film's production process lasted approximately 7 years.
Oh.
An outline was written and dialogue was improvised, recorded and assembled, and this process was repeated and refined until the entire film's worth of dialogue was completed. After storyboarding each scene, the live-action footage and backdrops were filmed, followed by the stop-motion animation, which was then finally composited into the live-action footage.
Well, you explained it then, my question earlier.
Oh, you understand that? Because I don't.
It sounds like they filmed the shot without Marcel in it and then imposed Marcel's animation within the shot. I still don't know physically how you'd do that. There must be some form of CGI blending going on there. I don't know.
The magic of cinema, right?
Well, 7 years, that deserves a round of applause. Well, if there was a word for, instead of doing a Schneider, there should be one for that.
Mm.
What commitment? But it was a short, wasn't it, in 2010?
Yeah, have you seen the short? I haven't.
I haven't, but I just assume it's just more luscious gold of Marcel just being interviewed and just being funny, really. It's almost like an advert, isn't it? It's like a fucking car insurance advert.
Yeah.
I can imagine it rolling on screen, just being adorable, and it's like, I fancy some car insurance.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'd buy anything that Marcel is selling because I love that little dude. I think he's fantastic.
What can I tell you, Sank?
Go on in.
I've purchased some conch shells online, because the ones I picked up from the shore were a bit too big.
Mm.
And I'm buying the little tiny shoes and some molding clay. I want to make my own Marcels and sell them as Marcels. No, but yeah, I'm making you one.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
That actually bleeds in lovely to my final fact.
Oh, Dad.
Marcel's original shell was purchased in a hobby store. When Fleischer Camp discovered he needed additional shells during shooting, he learned that even if the shells were of the same species and purchased at the same store, the difference between them was strikingly noticeable.
Mm.
Eventually, he created additional shells using 3D printing techniques. And I love to hear that, because it just goes to show that Marcel is one of a kind.
Well, they're fingerprints, aren't they, essentially?
They're
snowflakes. They're going to always be different, because one day that little bit of water was a bit warmer and it changed the colour of its arse.
Yeah.
You don't know these things.
I'd love to know how many Marcel replicas they went through.
Mm.
I reckon there's a place in the market where people would buy an authentic Marcel, not one that's just mocked up to be made to look like the shell himself. But the actual ones they used, the printed versions, I could see them going for a fair bit of money.
Well, they do. So when I first saw the trailer for Marcel, I've always been sold on stop motion, but also models, figurines. I've always had a hobby for them. And when I first saw it, I thought that would be, I get drunk and I want to buy a present for someone. And I wanted to buy the Marcel. And I think they sold a big batch of like really well-made models, perfect size. And people just bought them and then put them on eBay for about £1,000. But they were about 60 quid because they're made of like a really good material. And I thought, God, man, like people trying to get like £1,000 for a Marcel, you can just go make one.
Yeah.
It won't be hard. You get a goggle wire.
Yeah.
And a little bit of trickery with some molding clay. That'd be amazing.
$1,000. As much as I love Marcel, that's extortion.
If it was signed by Fleischer Camp,
yeah,
then fine. Or if it was signed by the woman who did the voice.
Jenny Slate,
yeah.
Then maybe, yeah, because that then becomes a proper collector's item, doesn't it?
Do you know she was fired from SNL, Jenny Slate?
Yeah, I don't know the details, but I heard that.
She just swore on a sketch, and because it's live, but how can that be? That can't always be helped. It just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it made her, really, getting away from it. I think it gave her... gave her this opportunity.
See, I only know her from Parks and Recreation. She plays a spoiled child and she's fantastic in that.
Mm.
And I, at first time I saw Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, I had no idea who voiced Marcel. It's only through watching it again and realizing, oh, it's her. Like, mm. I thought Marcel's a boy. I thought it was voiced by a young lad, but it's Jenny Slate. And I think she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On?
And many things. I'll start with dialogue. I love it when Marcel mentions this about her nan. She's not from here. She's from the garage. That's why she has that accent.
Yeah.
She travelled here by coat pocket when she was little. I thought that was excellent.
So clever, isn't it?
Where it made me like envisage this sort of micro world where the shells from the garage are Spain or something, and the shells from the living room are like France. Oh, dialogue's great. One of opening lines that really made me laugh is when documentary maker's dog, it breathes near and it, she goes, oh, I can smell its face.
Yeah.
And I've never heard that expression said like that. Like, I'm actually going to use that now. If it, like a history teacher's breath when he's trying to tell you something because you don't understand the question. I suppose the new equivalent to that is just someone who gets a bit into your personal space, but I'm going to go, I can smell your face.
That'd be hilarious in a cinema queue or something. You quote the man himself, Marcel, and you go to your partner, I can smell his face. He is too close. It's great. Right. Yeah, the dialogue in this is so sharp. And the fact you say he's Marcel's grandma, Connie, played by Isabella Rossellini, she even has like a foreign accent and she's from the same property, just in the garage. And she's even got a different accent, I think.
Yeah.
It's little things like that, the little intricacies and stuff within the film that makes it so smart and funny.
I couldn't believe it was her doing the voice. She was on Blue Velvet, wasn't she? Was she in Blue Velvet?
Mate. I hate to admit, I only know her from her small cameo in Friends.
Yeah.
As the woman that's on Ross's to-do list, so to speak.
Freebies.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other piece of dialogue I loved when she's reading online like comments for her videos. And someone had put yes for peace. And she's like, that's a funny thing to say. No, sorry, I'm a real war person.
Yeah.
And it's true. And I thought that's great because she sort of destroys internet trenders there. That sort of whole Z-list celebrity culture for what it really is, like fame at any cost minus talent or sacrifice. She's like, you can't just say peace and then get a million likes and then become an internet sensation because you said yes for peace.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Because the rise and fall of internet trenders nowadays, it's barbaric and I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he's right though, isn't he?
I don't know. I know you keep saying he. I watched it as she was a girl.
See, I was going to go the whole episode and just allow you keep saying she and me saying he because I think that would have been just funny.
It's in the film, though.
But they
she says, like, Marcel says that, oh, they think I'm a she. And it's like, do you know what? I love it because it's an innocent assumption. It's an innocent misassumption.
Which in today's mad world, you can get fucking cancelled if you get that wrong.
But they, you know, they're the gentler sex, and I'm watching her as this really kind, compassionate, and then I'm like, no, it's a dude. And even he says in the film, oh, they think I'm a girl. I think that's a really, really cool misinterpretation, or what would you call it, an innocent assumption.
Yeah,
it very, and I love how it's dealt with in the film. I think it's really clever.
I mean, the fact that this Marcel.
It works to say Marcel.
Marcel is a male character voiced by a woman.
Yeah.
It does make it difficult. And listen, as fantastic as I think Jenny Slate's in this, you wouldn't say she's putting on a masculine voice.
No.
It's different from her everyday voice. Of course it is. But you wouldn't, if you heard that as an isolated bit of audio, I don't think anyone would say that's a lad.
No.
It's very feminine. And you're right. I think the beauty of Marcel is you can
take it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Marcel's a beautiful show and it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
What else did you like about the film?
Stop motion.
Yeah.
So it's always been a fascination of mine. I've always thought there is definitely unlimited stories to be told under that medium. And I'm just glad Marcel is bringing light to the fact that you can create gold without being big, you know, blockbuster. Like, have you seen Night of the Mini Dead on Love, Death and Robots?
I've seen all episodes of Love, Death and Robots.
These are the really, really little micro parts moving around. It starts with two people shagging in a graveyard.
Yes, yes, I know.
I adore that.
That's brilliant.
I adore that.
Comes a zombie apocalypse.
That's it.
Right, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's just, you can tell it's a model. I mean, it could be computer generated, but to me, I'm watching stop motion. The way everything's moving in the scene and it looks physical, you can touch it. And that's just that's a great example of like, I know it's a short, that one, but a great example of how far you can take stop motion. I think you could do a gangster film in stop motion where plasticine just gets its head blown out and stuff. Like, you could do gritty 18 rated films, and that's what I would love to do. I'd love if this led to the chance to learn all of that about stop motion and then create our own little stop motion shorts and put them out online and stuff. I'd love that, because you can write dialogue, you can set the scene, you can use lighting, but you're doing it in your house. You don't have to be a millionaire to do it. And that's what I love about Marcel. It's opening the door, showing people that you can do a really highly lauded film as stop motion and still not actually be, you know, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
You can be quite an unknown.
Yeah, it certainly gives you so many different avenues that you can explore.
Mm.
If you've got the patience and the know-how and the vision, I think you can tell many fascinating stories using this animation.
Create your own worlds.
And when you've got something that's tangible, that you can touch and feel, like, it's so much more impressive. Like, listen, I'm not, a lot of people, I think it's fair to say, you included, aren't the biggest fan of CGI. I think it's been overused. I think now it gets slapped in and the quality has declined. I think when it's done well, it's superb. Mm-hmm. But when something is, you can touch it and you can see it, and you are led to believe what you're seeing on screen. All of these things come together to make something that's just so much more absorbing.
Mm.
And I'm right there with you. Stop motion's one of the things I love most about the film. I'm a big fan of stop motion animation, and I love how it's used in Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Mm.
It's simple. Well, I say it's simple. It's fucking complicated.
10 seconds for 8 hours, did you say?
I'll go back to the facts. It was, 5 to 10 seconds was a result of a full day of filming.
Wow.
So anywhere between, I'm assuming, 8 and 12 hours.
No wonder that took 7 years.
So simple in the terms of how it looks, not the actual process of doing it, yet effective. The use of this technique adds to the film's overall charm, and the use of household items to enhance Marcel's everyday adds another of level of genius.
Love that.
To how the film looks and feels.
Yeah, I love
that. And everything about it, for me, every beat of the film, it's just smart. It's so well thought out, and it's a result of 7 years of collaborative effort from people with a vision. And the end result is, you can see the thought and the love and care that goes into it. And I just, it's a joy.
I do wish, in one aspect, because I haven't wrote this down as a dislike, but I do wish that people didn't know or see or interact with Marcel and that sort of shell community and that them sort of creatures, if you could call them. I love the idea that it's set in a normal living room and you can tell it's out, you know, this world. But I kind of wish that they weren't talking to the shells, because then you've got to open up a whole paradigm of, like, oh, they're not phased by talking to a shell. What else is out there? Is there a dog out there with a community of, like, lizards on its back that smoke cigars? It's like, where's it's just endless.
If there is, I want to be part of that commune.
Yeah.
Hundy P. I'd be all over that.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have minded if Marcel was talking. Then again, it's a mockumentary, and it is talking to the camera.
You are right, though. I mean, I found it hard to find any dislikes, but if you've got your critical hat on, you'd be like, why is everyone so, like,
chill,
at peace with, oh, that shell that I got from the beach or bought in a tourist shop can talk to me.
Mm.
And so can all these other shells. And then what else can talk to me? There's no sort of, like, that. Nothing's said that's, like, why is this happening?
Yeah. And it can't be a subtext for, like, individuals not being seen or not being noticed because they're different, because they're other. It can't be that, because there's too many. There's too many going on.
Yeah.
And that's never brought up. It's never, like, Marcel never mentions that he was abused or that he had a horrible life as a shell growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think it's any subtext to that. Yeah, that's what I mean. If you think too much about it, you might lose the beauty of it.
I think if you don't immediately buy into the charm of this film, you're going to struggle with it, because I'm sure there's people out there that would look at that and be like, why are they speaking to that shell? Why can this shell pick up things without any arms or hands? Why can it move like it moves? Well, how can it eat? How can it shit? How can it throw up? All of these things.
Yeah.
If you don't accept it for what it is early doors, I think you're going to have a bad time.
I think anyone that sits down and enjoys this, they're in it for just Marcel's simple look at life and how he answers questions. That's why the guy documenting it and interviewing him is always laughing, because it's the way it perceives life. It's funny to him. He's like, oh, it's amusing.
It's innocent, isn't it?
Mm.
Any more likes for me?
Yep, two more. So voice work were excellent, really engaging and endearing. Could listen to Marcel's perception and understanding things all day long.
Yes.
All day long. I wanted to ask Marcel some questions and just see, like, what his answer would be. I don't have any for you, though.
Yeah.
Last, like, details. You did touch on it. I love the little details in this film. There's one where the nan's standing on the Z key of a laptop during a call to the program 60 minutes, and behind the laptop's just going Ted, bed made of bread, ice skating on dust, lollipop sticks as garden fences. I've got so much time for that.
Yeah.
So much time.
So meticulously thought out.
Well, it's like in Fury Road when you see that the accelerator or the clutch to the vehicle is a foot measuring device from a shoe store.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I picked up on all of those as well. And I think the more times you watch it, the more little things you do pick up. Like to get to her, the Nan's little garden, it's clothes pegs put together like a ladder.
Yeah.
And it's there's so many little things that are so fun to like see and find out. And it's, as I said earlier, it's just a result of an idea being really well thought out and executed, and someone's clear vision being respected. And
no expenses spared.
Exactly. Just, it's, the whole thing is, and that bleeds into my favourite thing about the whole film, and it's just beautiful.
Mm.
Everything about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is joyous. It's wonderful to look at and an absolute pleasure to absorb. I think the whole film is uplifting, upbeat and utterly adorable. It's innocent, endearing, ingenious and individual, and I find the storytelling to be both innovative and inspirational. I just loved everything about it, man. Like it's one of those weird films. I had a very strange reaction to it. As soon as I saw the first 5 minutes of it, I had a lump in my throat and nothing had happened. I guess it's the film showcases the charm of curiosity. And I firmly believe we should all aspire to be a little more Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that for me, like it resonated with me within minutes. The first time I saw it, I was just like, what's this?
Mm.
A similar reaction to I had when I was a youngster watching Forrest Gump. I had that with adult eyes in this film, and it sort of took me off my feet. I wasn't expecting it. I heard a lot about the film before watching it. I heard that it was good, but I thought it'd be another sort of generic heartwarming slosh that was just nothing special. But I watched it, and straight away it got straight to my heart, and I love it.
That's because you've used 1,000 rusty keys to try and get into that thing you call a heart. And it, do you know what? The key that did it was shell-shaped, and it was called Marcel.
That's oddly beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second thing I loved is the shell himself, Marcel. I adore the character voiced by Jenny Slate. Such a lovable dude, and the way he carries himself melts my stone-cold heart every time I watch it. As soon as I hear his little voice, I smile, and that smile stays giddily plastered on my face from the first minute right on through to the very last.
Aww.
It's just good soul food for me, man. I just loved it. Just love it. Continue to love it. And it'll be one of those films, I think, I've watched it 3 times now. I'll happily watch it a good 10 plus more times.
I like it. It's got replayability as well, especially if you have kids or anything. It's something you can watch with everyone. There is, there is a middle to last act of the film. Marcel's Nan, played by Isabella Rossellini, is becoming ill. I don't really understand what the medical sort of issues are with a shell. Marcel seems to be in good health. I don't know if it's genetic or if she can pass this down.
It's just an old shell, mate.
It's just an old shell.
Yeah.
But whatever's in the middle, that gooey escargot, that garlicky parsley bar. Sorry, I went there again.
Stop trying to eat Marcel and his Nan.
Yeah, but their Nan sort of dies, and they do it in a way that's so relatable to human experience. The Nan's sort of drifting off, looking outside, and the sun's piercing through the window, and she sees a ladybug. And then she disappears behind a ray of sun. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, it'll get you.
So depressing.
I don't think parts of it are depressing.
No, but I was saying to you in messaging that it's sort of love letter to being okay with dying. And so depends where you are in your life at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
If you've just done a line of Chang, you're going to love it.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, you will.
Disclaimer, we don't do Chang.
No, we don't. Can't get hold of it.
Just like the words.
What didn't you like about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On?
All right, mate, calm down. So I wish he had arms.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure he does too.
Well, but no, but I could really believe how handy Marcel is at building things and being as creative as he is.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, he's got legs. So just give him arms. They don't have to be clown arms or Mickey Mouse arms, but just give him something. Very little Jeremy Beadle hands or something.
T-Rex arms?
T-Rex arms. Something where I can believe, like, what they're doing. Like, cause you can't... Try doing something without your arms. Try it.
What do you want me to try?
Well, I'd understand if you could do amazing things with your legs, but you still couldn't build a house with your legs. You'd still need your arms, unless he's using his mouth.
He sort of just picks it up with his midriff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah.
I mean, it might be all part of the design, but I just think he's got legs and shoes.
For something so meticulously thought out, you're right. Like, you could go that extra mile and give the dude some arms.
I mean, it's a shell. I'm moaning about believability here, but it is a shell talking.
It's just to confirm.
But I just wanted the arms. I just think...
That's fair.
Not for aesthetic reasons, for purpose.
Yeah.
So I could be like, well, the Nan's like, she keeps brooming a garden, but she ain't got arms.
Yeah. I mean, they do make a sweet point in the film. Like Marcel says, when he gets an itch, he can't scratch it because he doesn't have any hands. So he just screams it out, which I'm like, okay, it's kind of a nod to that. But you are right. It's like, if you're going to give him legs, give the... Maybe it's something as simple as the stop motion wouldn't allow it. They would kept falling off of the shell. It could be...
It's all by design.
I'd love to hear Dean Fleischer Camp's reasoning behind that, if there is one.
Maybe it's just that life's hard.
There is. But there's no arm in trying.
Oh, let me give you a hand.
Very good. Any more dislikes for me?
Yeah. So the shells I could buy into because they're quite durable, yeah? But a monkey nut and a pretzel? What?
Yeah, like you said, if some sentient thing can talk, what's stopping everything from talking?
But also, they're perishables, good sir. So there's a fucking shreddy cereal.
There's a what's it, or if you're from the States, a cheese puff.
And a pencil with drawing pins in it. Like, if the Nan dies of old age, then a pretzel's going to die in like 3 days because it's been left out in the sun. I get the so shells can last for centuries. If you leave them alone,
yeah,
they're durable. They will last.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretzel ain't.
What's it saying?
The build up to the Nan dying like it was unique, and his whole family does live, by the way. Spoiler alert, I've told you now. They all live because they just got moved away in a shoebox. So the Nan's sort of like the first to die in a long time, but it's like, dude, I just saw a shreddy.
Yeah.
I just saw a piece of cereal.
Yeah, I must admit, when I thought he's sort of family and community were all shells, I was like, okay, so that we live in a world where shells are sentient and they exist. And
yeah, there's
a
that's shell fine, community. Just shells.
But then when I saw the cheese puffs and the pretzels, like you, I even, you know, this film filled me with joy. Even with that hat on, I was a bit like, why that cheese puff alive?
Exactly. Shells, yeah. Shells, I totally get it. So everything we have in today's world is normal. That's how it is. And the only thing that's different is shells.
Yeah.
There are shells that are sentient. Fine. But don't try and sell me the pencil with the drawing pins in it and the cheese puff. Mm. The shreddy. Shreddy's like a cereal. I don't know if that's in the States, but yeah. And pretzel.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can buy the shell without the arms. You can't sell me produce.
That's fair.
Or perishables.
I'll allow that.
Thank you.
And I'm a big advocate of this film. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say that I really, really do like it. But I support you there, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Last one was just sort of how the film brought to light internet trends, which I hate.
Oh.
Which I really hate.
Oh.
Be it, you know, like a flag filter for a terrorist attack or yeah. Like a new dance in front of a McDonald's. I hate how
thoughts and prayers, baby.
I hate it. I hate how the masses like descend on something good and drain it.
Yeah.
And 60 Minutes, the program which is mentioned in the film, it only wants to talk to Marcel not because he's charming and insightful, but because he's lost his whole family.
Yeah.
So grief sells.
Not because he's a talking fucking shell.
Yeah. Grief sells. So the media photographed and did not leave Britney Spears alone for years and years until she had a nervous breakdown. And then the minute she comes out of rehab, they want to be the same people that sit down and say, how hard was it for you to get over?
Yeah, Britney's so brave.
I hate them.
It's Britney bitches.
Mm, but I'd sell my soul tomorrow to get some exposure.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a heartbeat.
If you'll allow me, I'll tag team you hard on that point.
Oh, mate, come in hard. I got the KYs.
And... It's not really anything about the film, but it's just humanity in general.
Oh.
It's been said before on this very podcast.
Thanos.
I am not the most peopliest of peoples, but the way this film highlights society's incessant need to be part of a trend or popular topic bothers me. Marcel, the Shell with Shoes On, takes a look at how most of us are more interested in appearing to help rather than actually helping that.
Yeah.
Aspect really resonated.
Yeah, here's a photo of me giving a sandwich to a homeless
exactly,
guy.
Exactly, yeah. And our obsession with social media validation and the speed in which we flip between popular interests is damaging on both humanity on a whole and those people that we become infatuated with for a brief period of time. I'm looking at you, Tiger King. I'm looking at you, The Making of a Murderer. Mm-hmm. Seeing Marcel struggle with the fickleness of our species made me feel more stop motion Shell than human. And I think that young minds should be watching this film as a stern reminder to focus on the fact that it is the people in our lives that should matter most, not our fake standing within the false ideologies churned out by social media and their soulless influencers.
Oh.
Now, I know that's a lot to be said from someone that's doing a podcast seeking validation. Mm. But it's something that does grate on me. And like you mentioned, it's that TikTok obsession. It's that that need to take a picture of a meal that looks nice rather than eating it, enjoying it. It's that need to take photographs of someone getting beaten up than helping them. It's all of that, the evolution of technology, the fact we've all got a phone, a camera in our pocket. We've all got a platform to be heard. It's toxic. It's damaging.
Fair to say we've all been guilty of it as well.
Of course,
all done it. Yeah. Do you know what? I'll tell you a little personal story.
Go.
So when I was 18, I went on a safari into Africa. I got told, if you take loads of like pens and like pads and stuff, you can give it to like kids when you get to a village. So I was on safari, but you'd pass through these villages that didn't have much. And rather than just give the pens to the kids, I asked my partner at the time to take a photo of me giving the pens to the kids. And I looked at the camera and gave a thumbs up. And at the time, I was like, yeah, look at me.
You were a young lad, though, man.
Yeah,
People older than us now would still do that shit and do that shit all the time. And it's a product of our environment. It's not an individual fault on your behalf. I think the more reliant society gets on technology, the more that that's accepted, and it's almost the done thing. It's like, did you even do it if you didn't take a photo?
Yeah.
But I know you now in your mid-30s, I know you would do the kind act. You wouldn't need it documented. You would know in your own heart of hearts, and the people that know and love you would know that you did it for the right reasons, not to show off.
I wouldn't take pens this time, though. I'd take coasters with the Popcorn Kernel's name on it.
Yeah, promote this, dog.
Yeah.
It's a good shout, actually. Slate humanity and then,
Why starve? Serve thyself.
Yeah. Why, like you, though, I say all this stuff. If someone offered me more exposure, I'd take it. I'd bite their hands.
We only live once.
Yeah, exactly.
If anyone wanted this arse, I'd be selling it every night for money.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Mate, there's people out there that pay for that rump meat.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they would.
Richard Griffiths. Harry Potter's uncle, maybe. I might get him.
He's dead, isn't he?
He is.
So I don't think he'd pay now.
Oh, I'd be paying. I'd be the only one paying for that one. Grave robbing necrophile.
My second dislike is Marcel the Shell with Shoes On didn't win Best Animated Film.
Oh, I know. Wasn't it? What was it? It was it lost to quite a good one, though. Pinocchio, wasn't it?
Well, this film is one of my top five films of that year. Yeah, it lost out to Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which is another stop motion film, but a remake of a classic story that has been told time and time again.
You've pipped it there.
And I'm going against the grain here. I didn't rate Pinocchio all that much. For me, it tried to have adult themes, but then had like sing along really young child moments. And I was like, it's unbalanced. And
I just think aesthetically, it's beautiful.
Oh, without a doubt, you can't question the stop motion and how it looks and everything and how it feels. Not only is this film better than Pinocchio, as far as I'm concerned, I would argue it's better than most films released in that same year.
Yeah,
Hashtag justice for Marcel.
Yeah,
because I think, like, if you're looking for a film that's well intentioned, there's no scandal. It's not based on a true story about how awful people are. It's not a blockbuster. It's not a franchise. It's this independent film about a mockumentary about a sentient shell that thinks better than most of us. That takes a harsh look at how we have become as a society. All of these great things. And I think there's so many levels to it, whereas Pinocchio is just a rehash of a story that we've seen time and time again.
Rehash, remake, and that's why your point's 100% correct. And if you look at the animations 1 year before, 1 year after as well, I'd still say Marcel was better than them, just because it is an independent film.
Exactly.
And you should support independent films, especially when they are this calibre.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, my final dislike, it makes me blubber. Mm-hmm. Now, I say this as someone who is in touch with my emotions, and I have no issue whatsoever with a film making me cry. But the way this one hits me, man, it makes me ugly cry, which would be fine if I could put my finger on exactly what gets me so emotional every time I watch it. Mm-hmm. But I can't. It's a wonderful film that gets me wailing. And it's that, like I touched on earlier, the film starts and I hear his little voice. This was the first time I saw it as well, when I didn't know how the film was going to pan out. And I sat there and I was like, within minutes, I was hugging a cushion. My feet were up on the sofa and I was like rocking back and forth and like, what is happening to me?
Got caught off guard.
Yeah. And I think it's that. I wasn't expecting to be sort of hit with this emotional heft that I was.
Mm.
And I remember the first time watching it with my partner, like it finished and I sort of heard her surprisingly just go, are you all right?
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm not. Oh, God.
And she was like, what has happened?
I was like, I don't even know. Is he fucking with me?
Oh.
And I watched it again last week and I knew, like, now my missus clocks that this is a film that's like makes me emotional, so I could feel her watching me.
Mm.
And I did the sort of stereotypical man, like biting my lip from the start again. And then when he sings his little heart out, I'm there, but and I'm like, bah, bah. Watched it 2 days later on my own. Went again, man. Went again. And I can't tell you what it is.
I cried at the Nana passing.
Yeah.
That was just a bit like, oh man, it's so, life's cruel in that regard when it catches you off. But yeah. Didn't you, after watching Eight Mountains, come home, crawl at the end of the bed and sob and cry on your partner's feet?
Yeah, there's a story there.
Yeah.
So myself and Harry went to see this film at a cinema in the summer. And I didn't know much about this film. You wanted to see it and asked me along. I said, yeah, let's go and watch it. Watched it. The film, after we've watched it, we came out of the cinema and was both a bit like, oh, I don't know how to feel about that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made me feel a little bit strange. The soundtrack.
Haunting music.
Everything about it is undoubtedly a beautiful film. But it didn't hit me like straight away like this film did. We had a few pints of Guinness while we were out. Our tipple of choice. Went home a bit worse for wear. Drunk a fair bit. Got into bed and it hit me like delayed reaction. And my poor partner was asleep. I curled like a dog at her feet and then like ugly naked cried at her fucking ankles.
All I'm imagining is Schmeagle at the bottom of a bed.
Oh, mate, yeah.
Just shivering.
Yeah, pretty much that's what happened. And I remember her waking up going, what is happening? I was like, ah.
I watched the film and it's really sad, man. I can't be happy. It's about male friendships and it's not...
I did all of this and yeah. So that I had a delayed response with. Marcel...
It was instant.
Yeah, as soon as it
physical
starts.
Reaction.
As soon as it starts, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And yeah, I don't like not knowing the specifics. Like you said earlier, I'm a robot. I've got a stone cold heart. But when I do get emotional, I like to know what it is. I like to dissect it and be like, okay, I'm feeling this because of that. And now I can explain it to myself and I feel better for it.
With this film, diagnosis. I'd say, look, you were probably at a low point and you were feeling a bit like, fucking hell, like, what is the point? And then you watch something from the perspective of a snail, like a shell, and because that strips back the things that you're familiar with, like people, humanoids. And then all of a sudden you see the point of view from a shell and how it looks at life and how... Yeah. You know, all it wants is to find its family. It doesn't want millions. It doesn't want a mansion. It doesn't want anything. And maybe you were sitting there relating to that, relating to just wanting to have meaningful existence.
All right, I might cry now. And I think as well about maybe how Marcel looks at things. I've become this bitter, twisted mid-30s man. Maybe there's part of me that's like, I'd like to have that sort of innocent optimism.
Stand in honey and try and walk on walls.
I did try that.
Just,
yeah, I did, yeah. Didn't
you won't get anywhere, mate. I've seen those ankles, your cankles.
Yeah, hey, leave my ankles out of it.
I'm joking, you're a scarecrow, innit?
I got some questions.
Mm.
What inanimate object would you like to come to life so you could have a conversation with?
So I'm an inanimate object that comes to life?
No, you can choose what inanimate object comes to life so you can have a conversation with it.
Oh, 100p would be like a little mouse warrior, like a figurine, because I was growing up, I adored Redwall. So I'd love a little toy mouse that's got like a sword and a shield to come alive. And then I can send it on quests into the garden fetch me quail's eggs from the nests.
Does it have a backstory? So does it come alive? Well, it's not like I'm from a factory, but it's got the lore of why he's a warrior mouse.
Yeah, so Martin the Warrior was a Red Wall book.
Yeah.
By Brian Jacks or Jax. And I would have that little toy come alive.
I don't want to say my answer.
I adore mouse warriors.
It's out there now.
Yep.
I don't want to say my answer because that's so much better than mine.
What was it, dude? Was it an earbug? Like a Q-tip?
Oh, that might be worse, mate.
What was it?
Toilet brush.
Oh.
No, I just want to see, like, I want to know, like...
What, how that feels?
No, just because if I feel shit about myself, imagine how shit a fucking toilet brush would feel.
Yeah, but if that's its life and its purpose, but that's it's lapping up shit.
That's why I want to talk to it. I want to be like, do you love it? And he might be like, yeah, I fucking love it. Or you had some bread the other day and I had a right feast on that.
Oh.
I'd like to be like, I want to know, like, is this hell for you? Do you want me to set you free or do you want me to shit more to enhance your existence?
Can we just make that the upcoming What the Plot?
Yeah.
That is... grim.
Yeah. And I'd call the film Shit Happens.
Done.
Second question. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On was a wonderful surprise that I enjoyed far more than I thought I would. What is your biggest positive cinematic surprise?
I wasn't at the cinema, but I was at home.
Yeah, that's fine.
Randomly saw it come up on streaming and watched it and really enjoyed it. And it's unlike me to enjoy it, but Tick, Tick, Boom.
Cool.
Garfield.
Nice.
Really liked it, man. Songs were good. I enjoyed it's a biographical retelling of the gentleman who wrote Rent. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Underdog story. Great songs.
That's a good one, man.
I just ended up enjoying it. I think you even did.
I did, yeah. I really
liked it. And it's not something I would usually watch and enjoy.
Yeah, musicals aren't my forte.
Musical films more so.
Yeah.
If you go and watch a musical in the theatre the way it was supposed to be seen, you can't help but be pulled in.
Mm.
Films much, much different, much more hit and miss. I got no time for Greatest Showman. I know you like some of the tunes in it. I can't stand it because it's the TikTok generation film for me.
Yeah, I like some of the songs because I think they're belters as songs, just good sing-along songs. The film I don't rate at all.
No.
That's any more? Is that's your main answer? That's a solid answer to be
well,
fair.
That was most surprising.
Yeah.
But like, if you're talking about films that just I had no idea were coming, like your District Nines or Edge of Tomorrow,
yeah,
I had no idea great. About them. I just saw it and just pressed play and I was like, oh my gosh.
They're the best ones, aren't they?
I love them.
No idea. My answer is there was a film a few years back that came on Amazon called Boss Level with Frank Grillo, and it's basically a time loop film.
Oh, he's a MC guy, isn't he? Marvel guy,
sorry. I watched that because it was the new film released and I just put it on like expecting nothing. And it was just a great little action film that done that tried and tested time loop thing really, really well. And I watched it and I was like, you know what? That was fucking good fun.
I have to watch.
And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
He ain't the lead, is he?
Yeah, but he's good in it, man. I've got nothing against Mr. Grillo. I don't think he's superb either. I haven't seen him in enough to judge, I guess. But in this as the lead, he was great. Really fun.
I thought he was just a can of corned beef.
Yeah, but he's a attractive, nice to digest can of corned beef in that film anyway. And old Gibbo's in it as the villain, which you always love to see.
Yes, I do.
And another film that's caught me by a pleasant surprise was The Eternals. Now, I know it's a Marvel film. I know it's churned out. I know there's so many films, but in a time where I've certainly, as someone who does enjoy Marvel product, I was like, I'm getting bored now.
I work with someone that said it's racist.
What?
I can't imagine what aspect of a Marvel film's racist, but I work with someone who said it's a racist film, Eternals.
Right. I know.
I haven't seen it.
I know I go against popular opinion because a lot of people slated The Eternals, but I liked it because it offered something different. It was directed by Chloe Zhao, who managed to like make it more this sort of superhuman story feel a little bit more human that focused on the relationships and stuff. And it came after a chain of really, at best, mediocre Marvel series and films. So when I went to see it at the cinema, I was almost like, oh, I'm just doing it because I've come so far to stop. That's the only reason I was watching it at that point. And it was a pleasant surprise for me. And as I say, I am one of the few that really marvel at that film.
Was it set before, middle, or after everything that's already happened with Marvel? Was it like
after.
A prequel to everything?
It was after.
After.
It was after. And as the newer films go after the Infinity Saga, I personally think it's the best one. That's just me, though. I mean, you would probably hate it, and that's fine.
There's no consequences in Marvel Universe.
No,
and then people
not.
Would say, oh, yeah, but Iron Man has actually died. Has he? Who knows? It's a comic.
Yeah, until old Downey Jew wants some more.
Yeah, Loki was supposed to die a few times. Loki died a few times. They all can die and they can all come back to life.
Final question. What is your favourite stop motion film of all time?
Chicken Run or Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
I did, but minis as well, like Night of the Mini Dead, I loved. I loved a lot on Death and Robots, find it very enjoyable.
Oh, superb, isn't it?
Did you know the first, we're just talking about it again, but the first stop motion was The Humpty Dumpty Circus, 1898. It was just some guy with his kids' toys took a load of photos.
No.
And just put them together. Yeah, it's called the Humpty Dumpty Circus, 1898. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy.
That is mad.
It's definitely not my favourite. I watched it. It was shit.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can't imagine times being kind to that one.
I don't care. You can do better. 1898. Okay. You might have polio, but do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Get it. Go get it.
Go get it. Yeah, mine, Fantastic Mr. Fox, yeah. And this one, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Hmm.
I love when it's done well. I mean, Wes Anderson, for me, is made for stop motion films. Like, it ties into the way he likes his film to look. Everything's so uniform.
Isle of Dogs cool.
Yeah, it's great as well, yeah. What would you rate Marcel the Shell with Shoes On out of 10?
8.
Okay. I am glad you gave that a positive score, man. I did worry that maybe it wouldn't be for you.
No. Yeah, an 8. Like I said, little things. Like, I wanted the arms, but that, well, I wouldn't shit on a film just because a shell didn't have arms.
Yeah.
It was more to do with the, I suppose, the medium of the interview and just humankind's just irritating me in it.
Yeah.
And I just like, you're pissing me off.
Yeah.
I want to talk to the shell. I just want to be a part. I want the shell.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. Maybe because it's a mockumentary, but again, it's just the fact that humans, it's very normal to talk to a shell.
It's yes, when it's not, is it?
Yeah, I kind of, then again, I don't know if I'd have liked an exposition of the guy being like, you're a shell and you're talking to me, am I high? Like, maybe it would have been a good little touch if you could see some magic mushrooms on the table and this guy's high as fuck. And that's why he's talking to a shell.
The film ends and he's come on a come down.
There's, and he sees, no, and it's just an inanimate shell.
And there's no interview or anything. He's just played the whole
rewritten
thing out, yeah, yep, in his head.
Rewritten,
that, I would that would get a higher score for me, definitely, because I love that, yeah. But I'd go a bit higher than you. It is a 9 for me.
Nice.
And that's very generous. But as I say, I can't have a film hit me, an hour and a half film hit me like this and not score it very highly. I adore it. I do.
If you're going to ugly cry, you've got to drop a 9.
You've got to. And in a sort of ugly sad cry, ugly happy cry, just a barrel of emotions, and that's what the film does to me. So yeah, I'd give it a 9 out of 10. That gives Marcel the Shell with Shoes On a total score of 17 out of 20. If you like your films to be cute, cozy and centered on a sentient shell, or if you have ever wanted to have your emotions fucking rocked by a mild mannered stop motion mollusk, then Marcel the Shell with Shoes On could be a film for you. Consider watching this one if you enjoyed Forrest Gump, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty and Brian and Charles. Should we play a game?
Hurry up.
The game in question is What the Plot, where the rules are simple and the results quite the opposite. Harry will conceive an original idea from his big and beautiful brain and give birth to a plot. It is then down to me to nurture this thought by providing a film title, genre, cast and anything else I can think of to raise this brainchild into a fully functioning film concept. Over to you, Harry.
Apologies in advance. I'm just saying, man. It's that barrel. You spoke about it before. The barrel's running dry.
That's fine.
I'm scraping the barrel.
Listen, next season, it's my go to try and do, come up with plots. And that's that I can say.
I cannot wait.
It's going to be a train wreck.
I cannot wait.
So go on, hit me with what you got.
Okay. Guy contacts his local newspaper to bring to attention the fact that he eats 15 bowls of cereal a day. Caked in sugar. And he's scared he might die, essentially. He's thin, but which is strange. He is thin, but he eats 15 bowls of cereal a day with loads of sugar, so he's worried, like, obviously, you could snuff it.
Do we have a specific cereal?
I'd say, let's say, if he's adding sugar to it, let's make it a cornflake or a Weetabix, and he just pounds it with sugar, because they're not overly sweet anyway to begin with. I think he's like of the mind, like, you know, what it's like nowadays. Some people get a scratch, or there wasn't gluten-free bread at a restaurant, so they contact the newspapers. And I guess what the world does want to know, and the world wants to know more, right? Because that's the world nowadays. It's kind of like Marcel in that regard. But yeah, the world wants to know more. Newspapers, news shows turn up to his house, you know, to feed their brain-dead audiences with his non-struggle. That's right, I'm dissing him. It could be a subtext for, like, nonsense, consumerism, and how humanity's interests and focus has become distorted by Z-list celebrities. I'm really annoyed.
Okay, mate.
It's true, though, isn't it? It's true. You will turn the newspaper and there'll be a guy or like a really fat person saying, sometimes I can't feed my kids because it's got so hard on benefits. I guarantee if you went around that person's house, opened that fridge, there's 8 bottles of cider in there, 20 Rustler burgers.
Yeah.
Cigarettes in a cupboard somewhere. If you are fat, then you can afford shit.
Okay.
I'm not being cruel. I'm overweight, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's bullshit. Some guy, you know, contacting the news because he eats 15 bowls of cereals a day covered in sugar. You can stop. I suppose you realise that I'm probably talking about a real story.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something whiffing around the internet the last month or two where a guy ate 15 bowls of cereal a day and then contacted the newspaper to get help.
The thing is, it's that it's harder to take him seriously as someone who's struggling with, let's be honest, it's an addiction. He can't stop. You see people, there are people out there that eat inanimate objects. So Marcel would be fucked.
Oh, there's shit.
There's people out there that swallow, there's a natural term for it. I don't know what it is. They eat inanimate objects or they crunch on bits of rock. And
well,
stuff.
Surge.
Yeah.
And glass.
I guess so, yeah. But that those people do exist. So I guess it is a story about addiction. And that is a mad story. Like, it is something that you feel like if he was doing that as a youngster, maybe his parents could have got involved and be like, maybe don't have your 15th bowl of cereal.
I think it happened as an adult.
Oh, so it came along later in life.
Mm, I think ate a normal diet and then changed jobs and then just started eating cereal in the day too much. Well, in time with programs and stuff, became routine.
Now, I've seen a picture of this guy, and like you say, he's not a heavy set dude.
No.
He looks a bit unwell. Mm. I mean, and you would if your only nutrition came from cereal. Yeah. And I love cornflakes.
Well, my dad weighs about 9 stone, right? But he's got diabetes, the one that comes on from diet.
Oh, really?
And he weighs about 9.5 stone. He's the skinniest dude you'll ever see, but he's got the diabetes where you've ate the wrong shit.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? So it's proof that you can be unhealthy, but look very thin and look like you almost work out.
So I guess this story is about, I mean, you take away the cereal aspect of it, which is the main pulling power. But if you was, you, it'd be a story about addiction and trying to overcome addiction.
Yeah, sugar's as bad as tobacco, as bad as
beer.
Yeah,
it is literally a killer.
Yeah.
So I see this film as being sort of a dramatic film about some guy's fight trying to get over that need to eat cereal. Mm-hmm. And maybe within the film, you could have him that's the cereal eater, like cereal in both terms of the word.
Yes.
Cereal. See what I'm saying? I guess the other part of casting, other than the guy that's going through that, is you could have a Robin Williams type character in Good Will Hunting, maybe to try and like
psychologist
stop him from doing this, because the effects that would be having on his obviously physical health, his mental health as well.
What about the news aspect? Are they going to be pushing him to try and eat 16 bowls a day? As a spectacle.
I think with someone like that, it's almost news for people to laugh at you, which is really damaging. Mm-hmm. I think he may have come... Listen, I would be interested to know if this guy, the real guy that eats the 16 bowls of cereal, I'd be interesting to know if he went and seek psychiatric help, if he went to have counselling, went for sort of... What's the word I'm looking for? Hypnosis, therapy, all that sort of stuff. Or if he's gone straight to the media because the price of cornflakes have gone up.
And yeah, imagine like, it. I'm out of home. Why? Because I can't afford my crack.
I've eaten so much cereal. It's silly. But that's an interesting story at its core. I mean, the fact that it is on a true story. The only director I have in mind is because it's got a similar vibe to The Whale. And I'd see the telling of the story in that sense. Like, you'd almost see this guy as like kind of monster, other. Monster's the wrong term. Other, as someone who, like, the vast majority of us can't relate to, because most of us don't eat 15 bowls
of cereal. Say what you like, man. There ain't a community of cereal eaters that offended if you call them monsters.
I fucking wouldn't be surprised.
I think the thing that annoyed me in seeing it as an article of news was that there could potentially be someone over there out there that's a little bit overweight, but not horribly unhealthy, but potentially has a bowl or two of cereal in the morning and then they get peckish at night and have two. That's four a day. That's still quite a lot. But guess what? They didn't go to the newspaper. It's the fact that he needs the world to know he does it and that he needs help. It's like when Jeremy Springer used to get the big land mammals on the show and they'd be like, I don't know what to do, Jerry. You know, it's just like, you can't now say that it's an issue. You should have known back when you were 20 stone, not now you're 50.
It's that I think if we ended up speaking to this guy in a pub or something, in a social environment, and we started talking and he got telling us his story, we're like, oh, so how are you doing, man? He's like, yeah, I'm in rehab. Oh, fuck, what for? He's like, oh, cereal. That would be fascinating to hear it organically. The fact he's come to the media and stuff about it, it's like, well, are you after a bit of attention, mate? Do you want to strike a deal with cornflakes or something like that?
I like the use of organically, yeah.
Yeah, so I see this film and at the helm, Darren Aronofsky, in a similar vein of The Whale. looking at addiction, looking at this guy that, like, we like in The Whale, you see him in the street, you know, you kind of judge, you might even make a sarky comment, a joke about him, which is sad. And I see the person that's addicted to the cereal in that similar vein.
Do you know how I'd start it? I'd have a voiceover, a really good voiceover of someone talking about the journey of sugar from the day of its plantations in like the 15th century all the way to the Tudor courts. Yeah. Because, you know, most Tudors died of teeth-related abscesses and illnesses because of the introduction of sugar into their diet.
Yeah.
And then we end up at John Barry's house and his 15 bowls of cornflakes.
Maybe this character works at a cereal factory or a supermarket. Maybe he's close to the source. Access. So he's just at it all the time.
Then again, does that take away the conscious effort to buy and eat cereal? Because it's probably handed to him and he thought, I might not want to waste it.
But maybe that's where the addiction rose.
Yeah.
He started working with it, could get perks, got free cereal at work or something.
Oh no,
like
don't
that.
Give me any more free cigarettes, please. Oh right, I'll do it. Right, fuck that.
Yeah, fuck it. 40 a day. Yeah, so I'd have Darren Aronofsky at the helm. It would be a dramatic film about one man's addiction, as ridiculous as the addiction might seem. There'd be elements of comedy in it because he's addicted to cereal, let's be honest. In the role of the cereal eater,
I'd have
Harris Dickinson.
Oh, nice.
Because he's a young actor. I saw him in Triangle of Sadness and I've been rooting for him ever since. I think he's fantastic. Great. And I think he could play that character where he's kind of a likable fella, but he is like a crack addict, but for cornflakes, which is just a mad thing to say. And as the only other bit of casting, I'd have as like the sort of Robin Williams character, a mentor. Maybe he's come out the other side of being a serial addict. Mm-hmm. And I'd have this as a British film with Harris Dickinson as the lead. And he's sort of tutor, shoulder to cry on type character, Eddie Marson.
Who that?
Plumber actor. He's been in literally everything. The Little English Dude. He was in The World's End, The Disappearance of Alice Creed.
He was in Pierpoint, wasn't he?
He's, mate, honestly, I'm looking at his credits here, like, just everything. Recently, The Wrath of Man, The Gentleman, like...
I think I know who you mean.
He's been in Fast and Furious. He's been The Professor and The Madman, Vice. He's been in everything. Plumber you know
actor.
Him. Yeah, he's fantastic. So I'd have him as that support network, a psychologist type character.
Mm.
And the title of the film I would call Serial Compulsion.
That is awful.
No, it's not, because it can be taken both ways. Spelt C-E-R-E-A-L or serial like serial killer, S-E-R-A-L. And you know what? If I have to describe it at that extent, it probably is a shit title, but it's there now. It's serial compulsion.
I always like to imagine it the way it looks on a DVD cover or something. And it's just the seeing that, I'd be like,
All right, what about Special K? And his name's Kevin.
Sold.
My name is Kevin, I'm 27. I work at a factory, I live at home with my mum and my little sister, and I am an addict.
What do you think will happen if you don't eat cereal, Kevin?
Well, I would go hungry, Doctor. I only eat cereal. It's the only thing that gives me joy.
Instead of contacting the media, have you thought about hypnosis or therapy?
That's the thing. I don't want to quit. It is who I am. I contacted the media to try and get a deal with a cereal company. I don't want to quit. I want more.
Kevin, if you keep eating cereal like this, you will die.
Maybe that's what I want. The new film from Darren Aronofsky, Serial Compulsion, or Special K. It's a film about serial eating. You pick the name.